save big money on plant protection supplies. Now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready to spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hey, everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
And you're watching Tesla Time News.
Episode 399.
On Now You Know. All right, to start off the show, we are coming to you from the future.
Still your past.
But more future than the rest of the show.
Okay, so future, past, present?
Anyway, here's some breaking news.
This is big. Chinese officials have confirmed with the Wall Street Journal that Tesla's full self-driving has been tentatively approved for use on Chinese roads.
One of the regulatory hurdles was mapping, and we are now learning that Tesla will be working with China's major internet search company Baidu to provide this mapping data.
With this in place, Tesla will be able to potentially offer full self-driving to 1.7 million more Teslas in the world.
Not only that, but Tesla will get millions more miles of valuable training data. And that would explain this week why Elon said this. Tesla will spend around $10 billion this year in combined training and inference AI, the latter being primarily in-car. Any company not spending at this level and doing so efficiently cannot compete.
The market liked this news a lot, with Tesla stock jumping from 168 last Friday to 194 on the news Monday, an increase of over 15%.
This is huge. Tesla just effectively doubled their potential FSD customer base, and now with China giving permission for Teslas to drive autonomously on their roads, they basically just opened up the rest of the world, because which country is going to be like,
yeah, no, I know China has just jumped into the future with full self-driving, but we're not going to allow it, even though it's safer. We like things the way they are, with cars driven by silly humans that, you know, cause traffic jams for no reason. They text and drink while driving and basically just suck and smash into each other all the time.
And I think this just about assures that Elon gets his $55 billion pay package approved by shareholders.
Mary Barra, what makes you deserve your multi-million dollar paycheck?
I introduced the Equinox EV.
And how about you, Elon?
Well, I did get the Chinese government to agree to allow Tesla to be the only car company with a wholly owned factory in China. And I developed an AI neural net trained full self-driving that China has now allowed to operate in the largest car market in the world. But I mean, the Equinox EV is pretty spiffy, Mary. So last week during the Tesla Q1 earnings call, Tesla announced
new Model 3 performance launching today.
And you stopped paying attention to the earnings call practically because this is so exciting. Yeah, check this out. I mean, 0-60 in 2.9, 510 horsepower, 163 miles top speed, but that's not really the story here. The story is all the extra things they did to the Model 3 because they were so busy ramping up Model 3 production for so long, they couldn't really go in there and tweak stuff, but now they've gotten a chance to do it. So what do we get in the performance version?
We get the performance-tuned chassis. So it's the same quiet and comfortable cabin plus bespoke chassis hardware for improved stiffness and higher performance baseline. More power and lower energy consumption. The new performance fourth-gen drive unit can deliver
22% more continuous power, 32% more peak power, 16% more peak torque compared to the previous Model 3 performance, all with lower total energy consumption.
We also get forged and staggered 20-inch wheels with Pirelli P04 tires, better traction out of corners while limiting traction control interventions. Also, better comfort, lower rolling resistance, and increased range.
Yeah, having those staggered wheels actually means you can put down more power in the back and have a little bit better control in the front. Really cool that they're doing that, although rotating your tires is going to get a little more complicated. And you know, the guys at those tire places, they don't know this stuff. So don't just drop off your car at a tire place and be like, oh, that's all they do is tires. They don't know. Better track mode. So track mode V3 now integrates motor controls, suspension controls, powertrain cooling, and our vehicle dynamics controller, which is VDC, under a single unified system.
New adaptive damping system adjusts to the driver and road inputs in real time to optimize ride and handling while also improving ride comfort.
And this is controlled via in-house software, which means it keeps improving via future over-the-air software updates.
The exterior is also more aerodynamic, 5% reduced drag and 36% lift reduction, and a 55% improvement in front to rear lift balance compared to the previous Model 3 Performance.
And of course, they got the new sports seats. Everyone's saying they are super comfortable. Everyone's comparing them to like Volvo and all the big top brands. They're saying that like it really holds you in, but they're so comfy. And Lars Moravi, Tesla's senior vice president of engineering, posted, "Oh man, I'm so excited to have this car out. It's really amazing. Quick, comfortable, direct, fast, powerful, tech savvy, and efficient. All I ever wanted to do was make great cars. That's actually my first direction from Elon. Same today. Make the best car ever. Go."
And damn.
Now you want a performance.
I want one. I want one. You know, the Model 3 Performance had been out previously. Obviously, it was a different version. But, you know, and I had gone like, well, I don't need it. Now I
don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need it. I need it!
Well, you know why you need it. As Nick Cruz-Patain says, craziest fact of the day, the new Model 3 Performance is cheaper than the Model 3 Long Range due to it being eligible for the $7,500 tax credit. Insane. And Elon said, yeah.
Wait, what? How is that possible?
So James Katz said, Model 3 Performance cheaper than Model 3 Long Range in the U.S. due to the IRA tax credit. Weird stuff.
But I mean, how can that be? They're both Model 3s. I mean, they're both made by the same manufacturer.
Well, Hallmark's catalog says government interference in the EV market has led to horrible distortions. Elon said to add to the confusion, the IRA credit does apply to a leased Model 3 Long Range, which is why the lease price is lower than a Model 3 Performance. Louis said Tesla was expecting a $3,750 credit for the base and Long Range, but the Biden administration changed the tax credit again at least three times now, and still they haven't finalized anything. It can change again, so I would urge everyone to order now.
Elon said the landscape has evolved much faster than it's possible to change a massive supply chain and production system. So I'm still not understanding how this could be true. How do you get a Model 3 Performance cheaper than the Long Range?
Well, I think the main difference is the battery pack. You see, the Model 3 Performance uses an NMC, nickel manganese cobalt chemistry, and the Model 3 Standard in the Long Range uses LFP, lithium iron phosphate chemistry. These two different packs come from two different suppliers with different battery materials coming from different countries. Some are US free trade partners and some aren't, so you get two different IRA tax credits.
But 3 days after the new Model 3 Performance was announced, the price has gone up $1,000. I think because it does qualify for the $7,500 tax credit, and Tesla can raise the price because of all the demand this variant is going to have. So the Model 3 Performance is currently $53,990, which is still $1,000 cheaper than the Long Range version after the $7,500 tax credit.
But to offset that, Tesla has lowered the prices of some of the options, like the solid black paint option is now $500 cheaper, and the white interior is now $500 cheaper as well.
And so if you were going to go with those same options with the price when it was $1,000 lower, then it still costs the same. So it's kind of like back in the old days at the dealer where they'd be like, well, throw in the stereo if you buy right now.
Now, do you want a bumper? Because that's more. Now, when you spend every week telling the world how awesome home batteries are, well, we get a lot of messages from people asking about all the ins and outs of getting home batteries. A lot of correspondence goes like this.
I want to get a home battery to protect me from blackouts, but Tesla told me that there is a super long waitlist in my area.
Or, I checked out getting a Tesla Powerwall, but it's just way too expensive for me. Are there any other options? And that has us set on a quest to find an alternative. And guess what? We found one.
Yes, the Anker Solix X1. Check this out. So one of the first things I really like about the Anker Solix X1 home battery is that it's modular. You can start with 5 kilowatt hours of battery, which would be enough for powering a few circuits in your house. But if that's not enough for you, you can keep adding more, all the way up to 180 kilowatt hours. That's more than 2 Model Ys worth.
So that means you're not paying for batteries that you don't need. Also, check this out. The X1 can connect with the Anker Solix microinverter and the EV charger, which are both being released later this year, so you can have a home microgrid. This is energy independence, people.
Stop paying high electricity bills.
Collect that free sun power during the day in your X1 batteries, and then use your own power instead of paying for expensive grid power. They're all the same electrons, people. It's not like they're lower quality if you collect them yourself.
Yes, but I prefer using the expensive luxury electrons that I procure from National Grid in my light bulbs.
Yeah, but your electrons can't be controlled and monitored with an app. With the Anker Solix battery system, you can see what's going on, how much power is stored, how much energy you're using, and how much solar energy you're collecting.
And you can decide how to use that energy. Want to heat your pool with the solar you're collecting? Do that and save big money.
Want to store more for an upcoming storm? You have the power to decide. Each X1 battery has an innovative energy optimizer for independent charging and discharging, which provides more energy, and that's what makes Anker's modular design possible so that you can build a system that is just right for you.
Yeah, you can get from 3 kilowatts to 36 kilowatts of power from your X1 system.
So here we're talking about kilowatts, not kilowatt hours. Kilowatts is how much power these batteries can deliver.
Maybe you want to keep your air conditioning running during summer blackouts. AC requires a lot of power, so you can add the number of Anker batteries to your system that matches your needs to stay cool when the grid goes down.
And what's really neat is that long before the grid goes down, Anker has storm guard mode, which automatically detects and prepares for outages. So when the National Weather Service issues a warning, your battery will be fully charged and ready for action.
In less than 20 milliseconds, before you even notice, when the grid goes down, Anker's X1 system switches over to your battery power so you don't even notice.
No more fumbling in the dark to find the breaker panel and to fire up the generator. The X1 does it all for you automatically and then switches back when the grid comes back online.
And if the grid has an extended outage,
like we've had a couple that have lasted for 5 days in a row.
If you have solar, then you will just keep having power. Because normally blackouts disrupt solar systems on your roof, but not with the X1 system. Your solar keeps working and powers your batteries so you can live comfortably through even extended outages.
No matter whether you live in a hot or cold climate, the X1 can handle extreme cold, so 100% power down to -4 degrees Fahrenheit, and 100% power up to 131 degrees Fahrenheit.
And you're probably not going to want to just hide your X1 system away because they really nailed the design. It looks really cool.
At just 5.9 inches deep, the X1 is ultra thin and sleek with 8.7 watts per cubic foot. And I know that's really nerdy, but that's the highest density in the industry.
The X1 system uses safe and stable LFP batteries, and any abnormal batteries auto-isolate, so it doesn't bring the entire pack down if one cell does go bad.
And the best part are the prices. The Anker Solix X1 qualifies for the 30% IRA federal tax credit.
So contact Anker today to find the right system for your budget.
And thank you to Anker for helping sponsor today's show. All right, so here's another metric you can pull out of your back pocket when someone says,
I don't know, I think Teslas are too expensive.
Well, this just in from Consumer Reports. Teslas were named the cheapest car brand to maintain over a 10-year period at just $4,035.
And look how cheap it is to maintain a Tesla over the first 5 years. Just $580 versus, say, the number 10 car brand, which is Honda, at $1,435.
Yeah, almost $1,000 cheaper.
And this is not including the fuel, just the repair and maintenance costs. But man, I wish we could see past the top 10 cheapest brands, though. Like, I wish we could see the bottom of the list. Like, are those brands that we've never heard of before?
Oh, no, you've definitely heard of them. Consumer Reports published this list. So here it is, so you can see what you want. But look at Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, and Land Rover.
Holy crap. $4,250 in the first 5 years for a Land Rover? That's almost an order of magnitude more expensive to maintain and repair.
Yep.
And $19,250 over 10 years for a Land Rover.
That's five times more expensive.
Also, I just want to point out, this chart is not to scale. No. You might be like, well, it does seem a little bit. No, it's not. They didn't do it to scale. I don't know why they didn't do it to scale. Consumer Reports. Come on!
Probably.
It wouldn't fit on the... Tesla would be... I can't believe it.
I think this is a huge part of the EV equation that most people don't understand until they own an EV, right? All those things you just accepted when you own a gas car. Fuel pumps, timing belts, coolant leaks, mufflers. Even most of the maintenance for the braking system disappear with EVs because there are way less moving parts to wear out. And of course, Elon agrees, posting...
Tesla is the lowest cost car to maintain.
But yeah, this is a hard one to sell for people because it's like, well, those costs come later. I'm just looking at the shiny car on the dealer lot right now, and this Land Rover looks so cool.
Wow. That's like buying a car and then buying another car. I mean, yep. I guess if you're buying a Land Rover, it's like buying a car and then buying a much less expensive car.
It's like you're buying a mechanic who's practically going to live in your house.
I mean, for that kind of money, I mean, I guess part of buying a Land Rover is just retainer for your mechanic.
I mean, if you're a family with two Land Rovers, you might as well just hire a mechanic to live in your house. So Tesla has released some new, quite impressive stats. Tesla said a few stats here. In 2023, our owners avoided approximately 20 million tons of CO2 through the use of our products.
The more products we sell, the faster we achieve our mission. Hence, affordability is key. A Model 3 rear-wheel drive lease in the United States now starts at $160 a month after probable gas savings.
And with FSD supervised enabled, the chance of an accident is around 5 times lower compared to the U.S. average in 2023. Another little stat there that most people are like, yeah, whatever. But you have 5 times less chance of getting into an accident. That's huge. Our supercharger network was 100% renewable in 2023, achieved through the combination of on-site resources and annual renewable matching.
To further EV adoption, we're opening our network to other EVs across the world.
We deployed a total of 14.7 gigawatt hours of energy storage last year, 125% increase compared to 2022. And yeah, we're going to be talking more about the supercharger network later on Sunspots. So if you watched our Tesla earnings call review last week on our Disruptive Investing channel, first time we've done that, by the way, then you already know about all these updates that we got from Elon and team. If you haven't watched it, why didn't you watch it?
Well, we'll recap it for you now. Tesla Semi should start mass production in late 2025, with deliveries starting in early 2026.
Do I wish it was sooner? Yes. But Tesla needed to test it with real-world drivers and companies like Pepsi, and they have to build out the scale production lines at Giga Nevada. Now, we're number 85 in line for the Semi, so hopefully we'll be one of the first to get the Semi off the newly built lines in early 2026, so stay tuned for that. Other big news from the earnings call was that Elon said this about Tesla's humanoid robot Optimus. We're able to do simple factory tasks, or at least I should say factory tasks in the lab. We do think we will have Optimus in limited production in the natural factory itself, doing useful tasks before the end of this year. And then I think we may be able to sell it externally by the end of next year. These are just guesses.
So Tesla may be selling Optimus by the end of next year.
Elon went on to say, but I think Kathy Wood said it best, like really, we should be thought of as an AI or robotics company.
Another big news item that we learned from the Tesla earnings call is that Elon said, we are in conversations with one major automaker regarding licensing full self-driving. It really just becomes a case of having them use the same cameras and inference computer and licensing our software. Once it becomes obvious that if you don't have full self-driving in a car, nobody wants your car. It's a smart car. The people don't understand all cars will need to be smart cars or you will not sell or nobody will buy it. Once that becomes obvious, I think licensing becomes not optional.
And Tesla CFO Vaibhav Taneja said to integrate FSD would require no heavy integration work for vehicle manufacturers.
Yeah, you just install Tesla's computer and 8 cameras. This is yet another potential 2 revenue streams for Tesla in the near future. Selling auto manufacturers their FSD computers, which is hardware, and licensing Tesla's full self-driving software.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
And Elon said they might actually have 2 signed license deals by the end of the year. But of course, they went on to talk about how it would take these automakers around 3 years.
At least.
If they were really eager to actually get the integration work done.
Yeah, so they said don't expect to see that till the end of the decade. All right, so Ed Ludlow said news. Tesla cut its 40-person U.S. growth content team last night, including Alex Ingram, who started building the team out 4 months ago. This was part of Musk's early move on traditional advertising and placing Tesla content on other platforms here on X. And Nick Cruz-Patain says, I'm not going to lie, Tesla could have done a better job with their ads. They were all way too generic and just contained recycled B-roll footage. So many great aspects to owning a Tesla, they should be highlighted more.
And Elon said exactly, the ads were far too generic. They could have been any car. And I mean, I have to agree with Nick and Elon here. The ads were really generic. It looked like they just went on Google Ads and were just like, do we have any pictures of the Model 3? Yeah, we do. And then they put them there.
I think they should go back to doing the, remember they did the contest for commercials? We submitted one years ago. Yeah. Why do you need 40 people to come up with very generic ads that just use B-roll?
Right. And I also kind of think that people want a little bit more of a splashy, punchy ad. You have the advantage of having all of these car companies that haven't switched to electrics, and you could just rake them over the coals.
Why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
I mean, we were at an EV event the other day, and someone said, why don't you just put up a big billboard that just shows the Model Y and says, you know, $39,000 or whatever. Like, you don't need anything that complicated.
The thing with electric cars is that it's such a change. There's a lot of education that needs to come along with it. And the ad doesn't necessarily have to do that, but it does have to start them down that journey.
I think the way to start them, honestly, is the price. I think so many people, if they know about Tesla, they think it's like a Bugatti. It's out of their price range. Just focus on price. Billboards that say Model Y, $40,000, will get people talking. It'll get them to go, wait, what? And they'll go to Tesla.com and they'll learn more.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse having this brand that everyone thinks is so expensive.
I think so many people don't know about the different models. Like, our Tesla eyeballs can spot them, right, at a million miles. True. But most people see, like, oh, that's just a Tesla. They don't know it's a Y or an X or a 3 or, you know, they just don't know how to differentiate. Obviously, the Cybertruck is different. By the way, little kids, get it. I mean, I love EV events because there were so many kids that are going around being like, that's an S, that's a Cybertruck. And their parents are like, what?
So maybe the ads should be structured towards kids. I mean, not that the kids really need it, but it'd be great. Like, hey, go get your mom.
Maybe license like Arthur and Dora the Explorer and put them in Teslas and kids will get it even more.
Yeah, kids aren't watching those shows anymore.
I dated myself. Yeah. Hey, if you like what we're talking about here, please hit the like button. It really helps share this with more people. All right. So this is big news, people. Tesla tweeted out and Elon reposted preview of autonomous ride hailing via Tesla app.
Holy crap.
Now, you may be like, so what? There's a million apps and this isn't even a real app yet. It's just some kind of screenshot.
I get it. You're right in the sense that it's not real yet. But these app screens give us insight into what Tesla is developing for their Tesla ride hailing network.
We see this very simple summon button. This implies that unlike Uber and Lyft, where you have to locate yourself on a map and tell the driver where to pick you up, that Tesla may just have you hit the summon button and their cybercab will find you.
Stop.
We see the familiar kind of update screen to let you follow your robotaxi's location as it drives up to you, so you know how much time you have before pickup. We see the temperature and music control screens.
And this is a big deal, I believe, because before your robotaxi even arrives, you can cool or heat the cabin to your desired temperature preferences. Now, you might think this is a little detail, but because there's going to be no human driver to interact with, you can get in your robotaxi and just focus on you. No need for potentially uncomfortable chit-chat.
Kitty, kitty, chat-chat. Shit. Chat.
No need to ask the driver to change the ridiculous music selection that they have playing. The car will be personalized to you every time you get in it. And I think customers are going to absolutely love that.
I love it.
And this shows that Tesla is actually working on the robotaxi network right now. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few of them actually being summoned in, you know, Tesla parking lots as we speak. All right, it's time for the Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw! The Cybertruck Roundup. Katy Perry said, thanks for the delivery, Elon. And Elon says, looks good. Did she get the Halo wrap?
I don't know.
That looks like something Master Chief would drive.
Tesla Economics says the Cybertruck is ready for whatever, even if it's a crazy lady banging on the windshield and body while the truck is moving.
And Elon said, Cybertruck might be needed for a robotaxi in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's because I don't know if you've seen the footage of the crazy people jumping on Waymos in San Francisco.
Right. So this is a Cybertruck that's been shot at. There's an old lady with a baseball bat or a wrench hitting the side of the thing and a lady hitting the windscreen.
Yeah.
Looks set up, but it is. Okay.
Yeah. Nick says multiple Cybertrucks were part of the Orlando Air Show last Sunday. They were racing a plane. Obviously, the plane won, but, you know, it was close.
The plane does cost a little bit more than the Cybertruck.
But, I mean, the plane was already in the air.
Okay. And Elon said, cool.
Tesla Economics says French Montana just got his Cybertruck.
And Elon said, cool. And that's a Moroccan garb. I had to look it up because I wasn't sure if
he's a Moroccan rapper. He's pretty big.
He's a rapper. He's not a surgeon.
He's not a surgeon taking a break. And if you live in Australia or New Zealand and you want to see the Cybertruck, you are in luck, my friend. Tesla's just announced that Cybertruck will be touring the following locations in May.
We're told that Cybertruck will be on display, but not available for test drives, although Tesla will be giving test drives for the Model 3 and the Model Y.
And if you want to learn all this and more about Cybertrucks, also find out where you are in line. Go to the Cybertruck Owners Club. They help sponsor the show, and it's been great to track where our Cybertruck is. I think it's in the state. I heard there are 14 in Norwell. I heard there's a whole bunch up in Peabody. So if we just believe, it will come. So we just released our third episode on our newest YouTube channel, Now We Adventure.
This is where Zach and I go on all kinds of fun e-bike adventures that we share with you. On this episode, we travel from city to shore to a place that even most people who live in our state of Massachusetts have never been.
In fact, when you were researching e-bike routes and you told me about this one, I remember being like, no way, there's no way we can ride our e-bikes from that town to that town.
But we did it. And on all of our episodes, our amazing editor, Brian, shows you exactly where we are at all times on a map so you can also try it for yourself.
So please join us on Now We Adventure and subscribe so you don't miss all the fun videos to come.
We'll see you there.
So Washington State has just launched a new EV incentive of, get this, well, you know what? Guess how much you can get off the price of a new EV in the state of Washington?
Like $4,350.
Good guess. Very good guess. $9,000 off.
Whoa.
Now, this is off the price of a 3+ year lease. Purchasing an EV or a 2-year lease will get you $5,000 off. So you're pretty close. So yeah, it's going to have to be a 3+ year lease. I don't know why they did it that way.
So there are some income requirements. You can't earn more than 300% of the federal poverty level, which is $93,600 for a family of four. And the EV must be fully electric and cost less than $90,000.
Well, that's good. So that's a lot of EVs there. You can even get $2,500 off a used EV, both purchases and leases. So great if you're looking for a used one.
Hmm.
Which, by the way, on Patreon bonus story this week, we're going to show you the average prices of a lot of used EVs around the country. So tune in for that, patrons.
Interesting. So we reported on Quicksilver Model Ys being spotted by drone pilot Joe Tegmeyer at Giga Texas a few weeks ago, and now it appears about a dozen Quicksilver Model Ys are available on Tesla's U.S. inventory page.
Now, we still haven't found Quicksilver as an option on Tesla Model Y's configurator page, but my guess is that that will be coming soon.
Now, if Quicksilver is being offered for Model Y, does that mean that the S, 3, and X will be getting that option soon?
My guess is not soon. So to make this color in Germany, Tesla said it is a highly pigmented metallic paint that uses 13 layers to create that depth you get there so that the color changes depending on the viewing angle. I believe that they just installed a new paint system at Giga Texas to handle this color. And since the S, 3, and X are currently only built at Fremont in the U.S., I'm guessing that Quicksilver would have to wait for those models until Fremont installs the newer paint equipment.
Hmm.
But what do I know? Give us your thoughts in the comments down below. And I think the, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, wait a minute, Giga Shanghai, Berlin, and Texas now all have that latest paint equipment. So why wouldn't Fremont be getting it? And I think they will. It's just that I, you know, that takes time.
And I think what's really interesting here is that I haven't seen this color in real life.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the most recent red on the newest Model 3, the refresh. And oh my God, does it look amazing.
Yeah, I think a lot of these colors, especially these deep metallic colors, you can't really get a true sense until you see them in person.
And right, because even if you see them on video, it's not going to be quite the same because you have two eyes and there's going to be
slight depth
there.
Maybe in VR you can...
That might work.
So Holmar's catalog says Tesla FSD 12 is running in Europe, Germany, and Tesla is giving demos to regulators.
And Elon says, we believe version 12 is ready for supervised full self-driving in left-hand drive countries. Right-hand drive will take a bit longer. So sorry, England.
Yeah, it appears that Rickard Fredriksson, he is the senior advisor to the Swedish Transport Administration and the chair, by the way, of the Europe NCAP. He demoed FSD and Tesla on German roads, and he says, impressive, smooth, and natural driving.
And I think that this is a huge deal because every autonomous driving system that I have seen on the roads, I've seen video, the steering wheels are all jerky. And they may be completely perfectly safe. You know, maybe Cruise or Waymo has an autonomous car that's just perfect at driving. But if it's going to be a jerky ride, regulators are just people. And they are going to get freaked out by it the same way that I or you would get freaked out by a jerky ride. Having a smooth ride it's a very human thing, but I think that Tesla has really nailed this on version 12 where it's really smooth and that keeps you relaxed because good drivers drive really smooth. So it's a really subconscious thing.
And you know, you guys watching from Europe, is there a country there that you think will get FSD first? Like I know you're a union, but just like, you know, the United States is a union of states and some states going to get it first. I feel like Denmark or Norway is going to get it first because their regulators are going to be more open to it. But I don't know enough about your government. So comment down below which countries you think would get FSD first. So Elon made us surprise visit to Beijing, China on Sunday and met with Chinese Premier Li Qiang. Elon posted, "Honored to meet with the Premier. We have known each other now for many years, since the early Shanghai days." So why were Elon and Tesla's Senior Vice President of Automotive Tom Zhu and VP Grace Tao in Beijing? It was at the invitation of the China International Trade Promotion Committee, President Ren Hongbin. Elon told the media, "I'm very happy to see the development of electric vehicles. All cars will be electric in China's future." And that was like, duh.
Okay, but why was Elon really visiting Beijing? Could it be the beginning of Full Self Driving's full release in China?
That would be my guess. Yeah, I mean, as we learned on the Tesla earnings call last week, Elon said, "The thing about the end-to-end neural net-based autonomy is that just like a human, it actually works pretty well without modification in almost any market. So yes, just like a human, you can go rent a car in a foreign country and you can drive pretty well. Obviously, if you live in that country, you'll drive better. And so we'll make the car drive better in these other countries with country-specific training, but it can drive quite well almost everywhere."
Tesla is going to release the robotaxi or cybercab in the next year or two. China is open to autonomous cars already. It only makes sense that Tesla would start testing full self-driving on Chinese roads if the government will allow it, because as Elon says, it doesn't take much training to update full self-driving for Chinese roads.
And I think maybe a Chinese auto company will be one of those first to license FSD, as Elon stated during the Tesla earnings call last week. Like, first I was thinking, oh, maybe it's Ford. But I'm thinking, wait a minute. They've already got a lot of autonomous car companies in China testing on roads. They're already, the government's kind of open to that. And the car companies are open to that. And people getting in those cars are open to that. So, like, why not it be, I don't know, BYD or NIO or somebody like that?
I think that he would have meant a more American-based company. Not just Ford. Like, he could have been talking to BMW or something.
I know, but I don't think it's a European car company. I just don't think that
don't think it would be either, but I don't think it was a Chinese car company.
Well, comment down below what you think. Hey, and if you want to share a clip you've seen on the show, but you don't want to share the whole show, go to our Clips channel. It's on YouTube, or go to X, where we chop these into little bite-sized clips, make them easy to share with your friends.
Ellie's back from her trip to Japan with our SpaceX update.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. So after 3 long weeks away from home and out of the country, I'm finally back in Texas, and I'm glad that I haven't missed the next Starship launch. While there hasn't been much news regarding Starship, here are some updates. And keep in mind, most of these updates I actually get from X, or formerly known as Twitter. Eric Berger, who I will be interviewing soon, he's actually working on releasing a sequel to Liftoff, a very well-known author in the space community, posted on April 26th saying, according to NASA, SpaceX is working toward the 4th Starship flight test before the end of May, and NASA says IFT-3 was a great success. Elon responded saying, full and rapid reusability of booster and ship and orbital refilling of ship are the 2 fundamental technologies we aim to solve by the end of next year. Quote, those are critical pieces necessary to make life multiplanetary. And Eric posted that according to NASA, SpaceX will perform a Starship to Starship cryogenic propellant transfer test in 2025 with this neat little diagram. So as you can see, we have the Starship Target and the Starship Chaser. So the Starship Target will launch first, receive propellant during the transfer, and it has active docking mechanisms, a passive relative navigation feature, and performs the deorbit burn. The Chaser launches second. Now, this transfers the propellant to the target. It has passive docking mechanisms, has active relative navigation sensors, and performs a deorbit burn as well. So in 2024, we've already had the propellant transfer demo flight system review that was completed during the last flight. In work, we'll have the propellant transfer hardware development, and then, like I mentioned, in 2025, we hope to have that ship-to-ship propellant transfer demo. So this will be really cool to see 2 Starships launched at the same time so they can meet on orbit, rendezvous, and dock the 2 Starships together, transferring propellant between the 2, much like we've seen in the render. I have to say, all the Starship launches from this point, I feel like, are just going to get more and more exciting as we need to meet major milestones such as catching the booster in the Mechazilla or the Chopstick arms. So I'm glad that I didn't miss the fourth flight of Starship, although I may miss it depending on when it is in May because I will be traveling once again. But if you guys are curious to hear about my Japan journeys, please head over to my channel, Ellie in Space, because it was truly the best trip I've ever taken in my life. Thanks so much, Zach and Jesse, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks, Ellie. So glad you had a great trip. And Elon said congrats to SpaceX team on the 300th rocket landing. I mean, we're going to hit show 400, Elon, so maybe step it up.
I know, but they're catching up. Their launch cadence is faster than our launch cadence.
Yeah, Eric Berger said 300 rockets, 2,700 Merlin engines, 15,000 metric tons. That's a lot of recycling in less than a decade.
And Elon said, amazing amount of useful work by the SpaceX team.
Elon then said, Starlink now available in Micronesia. Now, can you show me on the map?
Where it is? It's right there.
Where?
All I see is a dot. Well, that's because Micronesia is really, really tiny. It's called Micronesia for a reason. For instance, Jacksonville, Florida has a total area of 2,264.5 square kilometers. That's 874.3 square miles. The Federated States of Micronesia, FSM, has a total land area of 702 square kilometers or 271 square miles.
So it's one third the size of Jacksonville, Florida?
Yes.
Wow.
So it is called Micronesia for a reason.
They really need Starlink then, I would bet.
Right, because otherwise you can only get internet from undersea cable.
Wow. Penny2x says, so humanity just needs to keep itself from doing something really stupid for a couple more years.
Elon says, the critical Fermi Great Filter threshold is Mars being able to survive and grow if the resupply ships from Earth stop coming for any reason. At that point, we will be a true multi-planet civilization.
And Elon said, a booster catch attempt is highly likely this year. For the ship, we need to be sure that it will survive re-entry and retain aero control authority. So that means at least two successful landings at a precise point in the ocean. And remember last week when we showed you a Starlink going through a tornado? Well, how about another Starlink and another tornado? This one north of Lincoln, Nebraska from storm chaser Nick Gorman. Yeah, so I think we're going to see a lot more storm chasing going on with Starlinks.
It's crazy that it actually works during that kind of storm. I think that a lot of people just imagine that this kind of thing.
I mean, it blew over a semi truck, you know, and like, but the Starlink keeps working.
Ah, man, I wish it was in Twister 2.
And SpaceX says we're working towards qualifying our fleet of Falcon boosters and fairings to support 40 missions each. Increasing Falcon's flight count provides valuable information on repeated use and critical element for making life multiplanetary with Starship. Eric Berger says, look, if you're not going to 42, you're not even trying.
And Elon said, haha, true. Challenge accepted.
Nice. All right, it's time for Into the Future.
Formula E has just unveiled their newest version.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Of their car, the Gen 3 Evo. Now, I'm not going to make you wait. The reason I'm telling you about it is because it can go 0 to 60 in 1.82 seconds.
Wow. Is this the first time Formula E has been quicker than a Tesla?
Yes. I remember going to go visit the pits during the first season of Formula E, and the cars only went 0 to 60 in like 3.5 seconds. They used road tires, and they slid all over the place. We're now on the second iteration of their third generation, and they've been able to unlock so much more power. Not only are they quicker than a Tesla, they are quicker than a Formula One car.
Wait, so a Formula E car has a faster 0-60 than a Formula One, the gas version?
Yes.
So how did they do that?
Well, a Formula E car is much lighter than a Plaid Model S at 845 kilograms. That's about 1,800 pounds versus the Model S at 2,100 kilograms or 4,700 pounds. And they
less than half the weight.
Less than half the weight. They also have much wider and stickier tires. But the change that made this version faster than the previous version was essentially just a software update. They turned on the front motor, which had previously just been used for regen.
Oh, so now they've got more power.
I think that this probably should have already happened.
Yeah, right.
I think that this is a really big deal for a couple reasons. One is, I know that they aren't going to be faster around a track than a Formula One car because they are heavier because of all the batteries. And a Formula One car is just insane amount of engineering. But I think that having the acceleration be faster than a Formula One car,
quicker out of the turns,
quicker out of the turns is going to be extremely exciting for racing. I know that Formula E has not really kind of broken into the racing market.
This might be it, though, because I feel like, I mean, this is going to be a lot of drivers having to get used to these new cars. But once they do, I feel like being faster out of turns is exciting to watch.
Yeah, I think that this change, along with a lot of the changes that they've been making to Formula E, makes it a little bit more of an interesting sport. I think that the only important thing that they really have to do with Formula E is make a video game. I know that
they don't have it in a video game.
They're in a couple different video games.
They need their own video game.
They either need their own video game or they really need to get into a video game, because there's a lot of nuance that goes on around racing. And if you're bored, I get it. But I just think that, you know, between running out of juice, like most races end with like all the cars having around like
1%.
1 or 2% yeah. State of charge, which I think is a really interesting aspect. It brings a different flavor to the racing experience. And you got to get all the noise and sound right. And most racing video games aren't tailored to that. And I'm not sure if you caught that footage from over 6 years ago, but you know, I went back and I watched it, and that was before I switched to using my Henson shaver. Back then, I used a multi-bladed Gillette razor, and as you can see, it absolutely obliterated my face back then. When Henson reached out to us, I didn't really have any idea what a difference it would make, and I'm really glad that I gave the razor a try. Mm-hmm. I know I've been saying that I have a beard now because of my Henson razor, but it's because I was able to heal my face after years of irritating it, and as a result, well, I can now grow a healthy-looking beard. If you want to give Henson a try, you can get a box of 100 blades absolutely free if you use our code NOWYOUKNOW. If you shave once a week and use each side of the blade only once, that's almost 4 years worth of shaving. I didn't even end up using all the blades in my box before my face was better and I could grow this beard. Again, thank you to Henson Shaving for sponsoring the show for years now. You can find them at hensonshaving.com.
All right, it's time for Going Green, sponsored by our friends at EVject.
You may remember that we posted a challenge to the community to come up with a solution to this.
You were charging your car when out of the woods emerges a large grizzly bear. You want to drive away, but you can't because your car is already plugged in.
Yeah, when your EV is plugged in to charge, you are a sitting duck. Crazy guys in face masks, bears, potentially scary life-threatening situations, unless
you have this, the EVject Escape Connector. Our buddies Craig and Eric heard our call and came up with an incredibly perfect solution, and now it is available for everyone, and we couldn't be more excited.
We've been using it, testing it, and we love it. It solves the problem of you being stuck while you charge.
You just attach the EVject connector to the charger head before plugging in. If something sketchy happens while charging, simply hit the lightning bolt button on your screen, shift into drive, and the EVject connector will break away, allowing you to drive away without damaging the charger or your car.
Now, I hear what you're saying. But I just broke my EVject connector then.
Yes, but that's what it's designed to do. And so if you ever need to use it, good. It just saved you from a potentially dangerous situation.
And our friends at EVject will get you a new one for free.
For free.
So don't hesitate. Order your EVject today at EVject.com and use our referral code NYK to save you 50%.
That's right, 50% off. So don't forget to use that code. So the U.S. currently has about 3,400 natural gas and coal-fired power plants. And get this, these power plants are responsible for about 25% of our nation's greenhouse gas emissions. And what EPA Administrator Michael Regan said is a defining moment for the EPA, new regulations were announced last week that mandate that these plants have to reduce or capture 90% of their carbon dioxide emissions by 2032 if they plan on being operational beyond 2039. This marks the first time that the federal government has restricted CO2 emissions from existing coal-fired plants. The EPA says the new standards will avoid 1.38 billion metric tons of carbon pollution through 2047. Now, the plan is likely to be challenged by industry groups as government overreach.
Now, you said that coal and gas-fired power plants have to reduce or capture 90% of their CO2 emissions by 2032 if they plan on being in operation past 2039. What if they don't plan on being in operation past 2039?
What if I don't?
Then they get much less stringent regulations. That particular power plant would only have to reduce emissions by a very complicated formula, but basically the equivalent of replacing 40% of its fuel with natural gas if it runs less than 40% of the time. But if it's going to operate more than 40% of the time, then it would have to reduce its emissions by 90%. Look, I think the idea here is to further incentivize power utilities to switch to renewables, because I think a lot of utilities have these older coal and gas plants, and they've been planning to just keep them running as long as humanly possible since they had such tremendous capital costs to build, right? Now, if these new rules stand up to challenge in court, it might make more sense for a utility to build a wind or solar farm with batteries rather than spend a whole lot more money to buy carbon capture equipment or reduce emissions.
Another part of these EPA regulations are that coal-fired power plants must also reduce pollutants discharged as wastewater, namely the coal ash, which contains mercury and arsenic.
Yeah, these new regs aim to reduce these pollutants by 660 million pounds per year.
Ah, coal ash ponds. What a great human invention.
Hey kids, put on your bathing suits. Let's go down to coal ash pond for a swim. Did you know basically all of these coal ash ponds were exempted from federal regulations? I think the coal lobby just really did its work that day. And so the feds were like, you know, it's pretty complicated. Let's just exempt them. Go ahead, fill that pond with all the crap you want. So they're finally catching up and they're finally going like, you've had years of fun coal ash ponds that you didn't have to clean up.
Right.
Now, no more.
Look, you might be saying, well, this is, you know, I believe in a green future, but I don't think that the government needs to restrict these plants. And, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe in the court's going to agree with you. I don't think that it matters at the end of the day. I don't think it matters whether the EPA does this or not, because economically,
yeah, the writing's on the wall.
The writing's on the wall for these coal plants. I mean, just buying the coal is expensive. You got to keep doing that in order to continue to provide the power.
I actually think this part of the restriction will hold up no matter what. And I think having to clean up these coal ponds is just way beyond what these companies can afford to do.
It's so much
cheaper to just be like, oh, 660 million pounds of crap. Where do we put it? Oh, there's a pond.
Right.
A lot of these ponds, as you can see here, are right next to rivers, are right next to people's water supplies. And they've been able to just go, well, there's an exemption right here. So.
And you might say, oh, well, let's put the coal plants away from the rivers. They need the rivers to cool themselves down.
Exactly.
They need that much water.
Right.
So when people talk about like water use for whatever, we usually don't ever talk about the coal plant.
No, exactly. I mean, like when all those people in Europe were saying like Tesla's using a lot of water, it's like, well, why don't you focus on where you should be focused, which are the coal plants? All right, it's time for sunspots. Now, I was at an EV show over the weekend, and some moron in a Mercedes-Benz was saying that these EVs are all powered by coal, so you're just as bad as the rest of us.
Oh, but okay there, bozo. Hold on. Let's go to the facts. As we've reported, there is only one remaining coal plant in New England, and that will be closing soon.
We do not get much, if any, of our power from coal here in New England. Our EVs, for example, are powered at home 90% of the time, and we get our power from solar on the roof and community solar. So,
in fact, 22% of the U.S.'s electricity now comes from renewables. Solar alone has grown 8 times in 10 years. 8 times.
And as we reported earlier in the show, when Tesla said a few stats, our supercharger network was 100% renewable in 2023.
Now, does Tesla have solar panels at their supercharger stalls? No. They pay for offsets. But that does mean that there are solar panels and wind turbines installed around the world that Tesla paid for through these offsets.
So plug into a Tesla supercharger with pride. Hold your head up high. You are doing the best you can to keep this planet sustainable and your family's lungs healthy when you drive your EV. And stop listening to these numbskulls who have nothing better to do than try and bring us down to their level.
And also use data from 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it says in 1960 if you're driving an EV.
It's like, where do you get your data? And look, if you'd like to get solar on your roof, batteries in your house, but you got lots of questions, there's so many tax changes and you don't know where to start, call our friends at EnergyPal. They can really help you get started. I highly recommend it because it's free.
You'll find the link down below and let them know that Zach and Jesse sent you.
All right, it's time for our video contributor stories. We need your stories. So stop what you're doing right now. Think about something in your life that we need to know about. And then film it for 2 minutes or less. Really easy to do. No music, no wind noise, if you can help it. Shoot it in landscape. Send it to hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. What do we got this week?
John sent us this story about some Cybertrucks that he spotted.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. John here. This is Helen. This is Atlas. And Eugene, well, we're from Eugene, Oregon. This is Salem at the Tesla dealership here. We're charging up our car over there. And look what we have behind us. Three of them just sit there. They won't let us go past this point right here. We got a stern finger wagon saying we can't go over there, but they're coming. They're here. We're seeing a lot more of them. We saw some last week on a semi truck driving up here.
We did?
She did. And it's looking really cool. I tried to get them to let us go back there, but they said they couldn't. So yeah, such is life. Anyways, thank you. Now you know.
Bye.
See, it's really easy to do, and it's really fun. I love seeing that you couldn't get to them. Oh, that! Come on, people. Make a break for cute kids. There should be a cute kid break.
I know.
Stand over here. Do not touch the Cybertrucks.
Why do they make you so far away?
Hey, it's time for Patreon bonus stories. Now, on Patreon this week, we got so many stories just for our patrons.
The average prices of used EVs in the U.S.
We got Rivian's new chargers.
Some scary deepfakes.
Along with Investor Club bonus stories and much more.
You can see these stories for just $1 a month.
So head over to patreon.com/nowyouknow. Support us there.
Keep independent journalism strong and get all these Patreon bonus stories.
We'll see you there. It's a Patreon bonus story. All right, we're back from our Patreon bonus stories. It's time for the poll. What was your favorite news from the Tesla earnings call?
Tesla Robotaxi Network is coming. Woohoo!
This is actually a tough one because there's so many good things.
Followed by Optimus. It's between those two. So it's
both
it's,
are robots.
It's good to know that our patrons get it. I mean, that's what I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care about the
the Q2 sales numbers. Let me, I'm an analyst.
All right, it's time for Elon's X's of the week. And Jan LeCun says, it's a drone-eat drone world.
Elon said, wars will become almost entirely drone versus drone.
And G. Fedor said, if you run this ball down the field, I think where you have to end up is a situation where two sides compare spreadsheets and prove their assets to one another, then decide if they want to deploy. Many times they won't and will settle.
Elon says, might happen. I don't think so. Because you could do that with human assets, too.
Yeah, but
I mean, they're even more valuable, I would argue.
It's actually worked with nuclear weapons, I would argue, for decades. So, might be true. You just say, I've got this many nukes, you've got this many, and please don't launch. And it works.
It's usually because at the bottom of the spreadsheet, the numbers just fall off the sheet of how horrible it would be.
Lord Pretty Flacco says, according to James Duma, Elon Tesla can see up to 6 months ahead of what the public has access to. If version 12.4 should indeed arguably be called version 13, according to Musk, he's likely seen a breakthrough.
Elon says, James is largely correct. We know roughly what the car will do in 3 to 6 months. When a more advanced AI model is trained, it will have several breakthroughs, but also dozens of bugs where it performs much worse. Takes a few months to fix these bugs and complete safety tests.
Massimo says, this machine can kill over 100,000 weeds an hour using 8 simultaneously operating laser modules that deliver quick zaps on emerging weeds with a margin of error of just 3 millimeters.
And Elon said, lasers can do anything.
Benny Johnson says, California spent $24 billion in taxpayer money to fix their homeless crisis. Where did all the money go? No one knows. What we do know is that there are homeless people literally everywhere. So we asked homeless people in California if they had seen any of that money.
And Elon said, so where does the money go?
Watcher.guru says, just in, multiple SEC lawyers resign after a federal judge sanctioned the agency for false statements and abuse of power in a crypto case.
And Elon said, wow.
And he went on to say, wow, this is next level. Tesla owner of Silicon Valley says Starship is unreal to witness in person.
Elon said, yeah, it wouldn't be believable if it were fiction. Giant rocket that is the heaviest flying object ever made, and it's on a beach down by the river.
In a van down by the river.
Quote from Elon here. He said, how did most of the legacy media go from superheroes of free speech to supervillains of speech suppression?
Andy Lund said, quite the change.
Then he posted this meme. Me reading stories about how they created Social Security. Me reading stories about Ponzi schemes. Me realizing they are the same.
Elon said, biggest Ponzi scheme ever. Maybe AI and robots will save it, though.
Doge Designer says, is challenging global censorship arrogance? From a legal perspective, X is in full compliance with Australian laws. The eSafety Commissioner has directed X to remove certain posts worldwide. Is it legal for one country to demand censorship beyond its borders?
Elon says, I do not think I'm above the law. Does the Prime Minister think he should have jurisdiction over all of Earth? That's an interesting one. Why hasn't this come up before?
Because there wasn't a place they were trying to shut down that wouldn't not do it. But like every time they've asked all these other social media companies, they just do it. He said no.
So, but I mean, like, okay.
They have done it before.
Right. But I mean, like, if I'm the Prime Minister of Albania and I say, like, take down this post. Like,
they do it. Like Facebook, they all do it. They don't want to get in trouble. X says no.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Wow.
News at X said, coming soon to a television near you, XTV.
Ooh, so it'll be an app on your TV, on your smart TV.
Yep.
Just like YouTube has an app.
Or Netflix.
Like Netflix and Disney Plus. Okay. That's interesting.
Morgan Freeman said this.
I'm a huge fan of Elon Musk's. And I think he's got the most incredibly forward-thinking ideas about where we can go technologically. He's, you know, what he's done is nobody else has ever done. He's landed a rocket ship, so it's reusable. What a feat that is. Now we're taking off. We're going to be going to Mars, delivering stuff to people who are going to be settling there, just like they settled the old West, and bringing those ships back and landing them and reloading.
And Elon said Morgan Freeman is awesome.
Alex said, and another lie about autopilot activation has been debunked. The media, of course, will not report on this, correct their previous article, or stop jumping to premature and false conclusions about Tesla, AP, FSD, and AVS. But basically, Tesla was vindicated as data shows that the person who lied about the Melbourne hit-and-run car was not on autopilot. She was actually speeding up when she hit the person and then lied about it and said, like, oh no, it was my car that did that. But they have the data and they know she did it.
Wow. And Elon said, yeah. And Elon said, humans have trouble internalizing responsibility.
Wasn't my fault.
It was the car that wasn't in autopilot. Yeesh.
K10 says 14 years ago, Tesla opened its Fremont factory with 1,000 workers.
Elon said Tesla has now created over 30,000 manufacturing jobs in California. And I know he didn't say this, but in Texas, they are the largest employer. Take that, HEB supermarkets.
AI driver says FSD 12.3.5 still refuses to get into this left turn lane for some reason. For me, this issue started on 12.3.3 and has been consistent. I go through this intersection every day and it's always the same behavior. Seems like an odd one to get wrong.
Elon says 12.4 is a major improvement and 12.5 is a whole other level. Holmar's catalog says 12.3.5 can never just change lanes. It has to start changing lanes, then come back to the original lane, then change lanes slowly. It's super annoying. And I've been noticing this too. I call it the weave. Kind of go, okay.
Yeah. He does say it's fixed in 12.4. We'll have to see. He said the 12.3.x releases are very minor changes.
Right. And I mean, you know, to be fair, I've seen human drivers that just...
They
just take both lanes.
Right.
I mean, why choose?
Elon said this graph illustrates the woke mind virus taking over legacy media. Same happened with online media and the education system. Then it spread to other countries. Infection rate almost 100%, but now it will die. Mario says, breaking Elon to testify for Brazil's Security Commission. And Elon said, I would be happy to testify.
He's going to do it via video conference. Yeah.
Don't go to Brazil, Elon. Maybe he'll come here. Get the shackles ready.
I know.
Clover Hogan says, take electric vehicles. As demand grows, so does the need for cobalt, 70% of which is mined in the DRC. This has led to an explosion in human rights abuses from child labor, etc.
And Elon says, cell phone and laptop batteries use cobalt, but most electric cars use none. Those that do use cobalt use very little, as the cathode is primarily nickel, which performs better and costs less than cobalt. And yeah, most Teslas that you can buy today have LFP batteries in them.
Yep.
The switch happened overnight. Almost nobody noticed because right. There is very little.
Let's still talk about 10-year-old talking points.
But exactly. And the thing is, LFP batteries contain zero cobalt. Darn it! I wanted to complain!
Elon said late last year several ex-employees were threatened by a guy with a machete outside the Walgreens on Market Street in San Francisco. They didn't report it because that doesn't constitute an arrestable crime in California. That guy later killed three people. The Independent printed the story from Amelie director, who says there will be no sequel because Paris is ugly now. And, isn't that sad?
And Elon put the exclamation point.
It was a wonderful movie, but yeah. That's really sad. Devin Kim says, coworker, you haven't experienced a real jump scare until you're playing on one of these and Elon comes up behind you.
And Elon said, boo.
World of Engineering says, term of the day, cathode, definition, the terminal of a device by which current exits.
And Elon says, there are actually a lot of ways to interpret the word cathode, but for those who make batteries and cells, it is the side with metal and the anode is the side with carbon and or silicon.
But Elon only posts about crazy things.
Yes.
David says, the most impactful sci-fi stories I've ever read, and you should read too. And they list a whole bunch, and Elon said it's a good list. And then he said a few other suggestions off the cuff: Foundation series, Moon is a Harsh Mistress, Starhammer, which inspired Halo, Stainless Steel Rat. Just fun to see him on these posts where you can get to see like what he's read in the past, and maybe you want to read it. Smoke Away says, no Elon on the new Homeland Security AI board. So what we're talking about here is that President Biden directed Secretary Mayorkas to establish the board, which includes 22 representatives from a range of sectors, including software and hardware and stuff. But they're like, no, let's see. Let's make sure Elon's not on that board.
Well, I think that if you are intelligent, you'd go, well, we can't put Elon on the board because we need to regulate the crap out of him.
Yes.
And Elon said, maybe Mayorkas is grumpy about the fact that I think he should be impeached for ushering in vast numbers of illegals by any means possible while simultaneously making legal immigration almost impossible.
Then this meme of Zoom and Google Meet and Teams driving onto the train tracks being blown away by
X conferences.
Yeah, he says it'll become obvious over time that you can do anything on X, so features like this will be taken for granted. Doge designer then pointed out that conferences on X is coming soon. You'll be able to host meetings just like Zoom and Meet and Microsoft Teams. And Doge designer went on to say, in February, Elon Musk donated over $2 million to a research group using artificial intelligence to analyze ancient writings from Pompeii.
Elon says, we need to preserve and make accessible as much knowledge as possible. So much has been lost over the past 5,000 years.
Jason Calacanis says, who are the top female CEOs by market cap of their companies? Would be killer if I could mention Grok and have it respond to this in public, Elon.
Elon said, good point. Grok autorespond bot incoming. All you got to do is be another billionaire and tweet at Elon and you get something that you want.
Jason's not a billionaire. No? He's a millionaire.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Ed says, do we reach the critical Fermi on Mars before or after we reach AGI superintelligence on Earth?
Elon said, AGI will come first, but there are many levels of AGI. As Wait But Wise chart suggests, we are at the very beginning of intelligence. Humans are the biological bootloader for digital superintelligence, and we may serve as a backup plan for intelligence, given that humans are far more resilient than circuit boards on Earth.
We're just the bootloaders?
Aww. But we're also the backup on Earth.
Penny2x says, do you think you can reform hardened criminals with hugs?
Elon says, most people have not met 3-plus sigma violent humans, so cannot understand them, instead projecting their own non-violent mindset onto them. Unless you've at least read many interviews with people who have uncontrollable violent behavior, you cannot model their mindset. And what he means by 3-plus sigma violent humans, it's not the sigma male grind set.
No, it means
he's talking about
you're 3 deviation points away from the middle.
We're on the
Very extreme.
The very extreme end of the
curve.
Of the bell curve of people who are extremely violent.
Bohan says, finally start watching The Three Body Problem. Didn't realize how much of a physicist there is still in me. Holy F, this crap is so inane and hard to watch.
Elon says, I'm fine if a sci-fi story has rules that are basically just magic, like use the force, but it should at least remain internally consistent and not assert that it adheres to actual physics.
Yeah. I had the same reaction. I was like, this is getting silly. Ed says, should we be teaching kids how to use AI to do their homework instead of penalizing them for the act? A forward-looking person might say yes. What do you think?
Elon says, from what I hear, every kid is using AI for their homework already.
Elon said, digital superintelligence, like a brilliant child, cannot be controlled by its creators, but we can decide what values to teach it, what to prune, and what to nurture. That is why I am so concerned about the wokeness and deliberate lying for political correctness being programmed into Google Gemini and Microsoft OpenAI ChatGPT. And then not Elon Musk said, just like me, I was a brilliant child who could not be controlled. Gail says, Massachusetts, illegals get priority over U.S. military veterans.
And Elon said, insane.
Penny2x says, if I can anger you with a word, I can control you with a book.
Elon said, true.
Ed says, my theory is that AI superintelligence will lead to a spike in childbirth. As more and more people have more time and more resources, I expect more families and even single people to start having and wanting more children. Heck, we might even see robot babysitters sometime.
Elon says, so far, increased income has led to a decreased birth rate, but robot babysitters are a sure thing.
Brian says, masonry students demonstrate their work.
Elon says, I wonder why the whole Freemason thing declined so much. Didn't they used to be the Illuminati? Maybe their rates were too low. Like, free is just obviously not a sustainable business model.
And yes, Elon did call the co-founder of Facebook a this week. He said, what a I'd like to apologize to Dustin Moskowitz for calling him a that was wrong. What I meant to say is that he is a pompous idiot whose head is so far up his own that he is legally blind. I wish him the best and hope that someday we can be friends. And Homar's catalog said, the most hilarious part of Dustin Moskowitz attacking the Tesla AI team is that after leaving Facebook, he started a to-do list app. Really? You're going to shit on the people changing the world when you were handed billions and decided the world needed another to-do list? The only thing criminal here, Dustin, is your lack of vision and ambition.
Elon said, I never knew what Asana did until today. Why would anyone pay money for functionality that comes free on your phone?
Oh, an update here from Tesla Thomas. He says, Tesla FSD 12.3.6 is rolling out to employees.
Homer's catalog said, cool, but what I really want is 12.4 and actually Smart Summon.
And Elon said, it's awesome. Yeah, but yeah, we want it now. All right, time for community mail time.
Community mail time.
Again, share your stories and photos and videos with us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com.
Salvador spotted this Cybertruck in Albany, New York.
I feel like someone's been doxxed there.
I know.
Dennis saw this Fisker Ocean in Dillon, Florida.
Matt found this Cybertruck being used by AquaClear Water Systems in Tennessee. Hey, advertising.
Wrap your truck.
That is pretty. It'll get your attention.
Or how about this one? Colton spotted this meat wrap Cybertruck in Berkeley, California.
That'll get your attention too.
I think it's an industry.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Gene sent us this picture of Optimus on display in Tyson's Corner, Virginia.
Arturo found this green wrap Tesla Model 3 at Monterey, Mexico.
Paul saw this BYD Atto 3 in Satabong, Sawak, Malaysia.
Gonzo spotted this wrap Model Y in Quickborn, Germany.
Steve saw this Ford F-150 Lightning supercharging at the Sheets in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And they did a good job not to block too many stalls there. Actually, no stalls. They blocked less stalls than a Tesla would have.
Oh, wow. Hernan spotted this Rivian R1S supercharging in Vernon, Texas, but he is blocking. Well, is he? Maybe one? No, he blocked at the end. I guess we're good.
I think we're good, yeah. So, I mean, it's good to see that people are being responsible charging. Foster found this Cadillac Lyric in Everett, Washington.
Steven spotted the Cybertruck on Route 66 in Glendora, California.
Chris saw this Tesla Model X maintenance vehicle at the Las Vegas Loop.
And Neil saw this original Tesla Roadster at the annual Delray Beach Concours in Florida. So cool. And, you know, Jeff, our buddy Jeff had an EV event where we had basically all the Tesla models. It was the first time I had gone to an event. I think, right? Old Roadster, Sexy, Cybertruck, all were there.
Wow.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Good job, Jeff. All right, it's time for the EV tip of the week. And we need your tips, so send them in to us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com.
Jim sent us this EV tip about why you need a Tesla mobile charger.
Let's talk about why you need a mobile charger. On traditional gas cars, this is a nozzle that you can just pour gasoline into from any gas can. But on electric vehicles, it's a special connector that requires an adapter. You can't make gasoline at your garage or anywhere else, but you can get electricity from virtually anywhere. That's one of the reasons why the mobile adapter is so valuable to have with your car. You don't need one for every car you own, but you definitely need at least one for when you travel, because that way you can just plug in wherever you are and charge. Now, of course, the reason why I'm saying this is because you cannot put electricity into this car with anything but the mobile adapter or the Tesla charger that you pull up to, the supercharger. So the big idea is that you want to make sure that you're able to put electricity into your electric vehicle no matter where you are, no matter what electrical you have at any time. That way you don't always have to be at a supercharger and maybe towed to a supercharger.
Thank you, Jim. It's now time for our supercharger reviews. Remember, you can put those on our website, so let's see what we got.
Welcome to Brandon, Manitoba. This is a six stall supercharger with 250 kilowatts. This is inside of a major shopping center, so there are plenty of places to hang out and spend your time while you're waiting for a charge. I would give this like an 8 out of 10. Plenty of things to do. But it is a bit of a maze trying to get into the supercharger from the street, because it's a bit of a maze through the mall. Now you know.
Hello world. This is Holger from Austria again. I'm here at Sadar Supercharger. This supercharger has 6 stalls. It's located at the exit from the highway on the fuel station. It's a little bit complicated to arrive here. And the maximum power is 125 kilowatts because of a Croatian grid can take no more. So I give this a 5 out of 10. And now you know.
We're here at the Hartford, Connecticut Liebert Road supercharger off of Interstate 91 North. We were coming in from 84 and it was a couple miles the wrong direction on 91. So if you're coming in from 84, Manchester, Connecticut on 84 is probably more direct, but it's a V2, fully operational, good amenities inside the Pride truck stop. There's a subway. We were here on a Sunday and it was closed. But good clean bathrooms, good selection of convenience store snacks. So overall, I'm going to give this a 7 out of 10.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. Welcome to Bloomington, Minnesota and the new 16-stall version 3 supercharger. This is a really good location right off the highway and really close to the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport and near the junction of Interstate 35 and 494 that runs around the Twin Cities. It's in the parking lot of a Target, but there's also a Hobby Lobby, a sushi place, and a Chick-fil-A right nearby. Inside the Target, there is a Starbucks for coffee lovers and a Caribou about a block away if you prefer that. There are also a lot of other food options around, but you'd probably want to stop there before coming to charge because there isn't enough time to walk there and get back. Your car would be done charging already. There are also 2 charge point pedestals here, so 4 J1772 connectors if you need a little slower charge while you do your shopping. All in all, I give this charger a 7 out of 10 because it is close to the highway, but getting in and out of this parking lot is a little fiddly. But it's close to the airport and a great addition to the Southern Metro. So we're really excited to have this one here. Now you know.
Thanks, Brian.
Also, I didn't know that the Croatian grid can only go up to 125 kilowatts.
Huh,
that sucks. They can't do 250 supercharging yet.
Well, Croatia is a much smaller country than the United States. So.
No, I mean, maybe they can put solar and batteries at one of them and, you know, boost
the power. Oh, that's true. That's true.
And remember, send us photos of beautiful supercharger locations as well.
I was checking the list of planned superchargers this week on supercharge.info, and they have this really cool graph.
Wait, what's that super long line at the bottom?
That is the supercharger planned for Stafford, northbound UK.
And what's this graph showing?
That is how long each supercharger has been planned for, but not yet actually put online.
All right, so how long has that one been planned for?
Stafford, northbound UK, 1,369 days. That is 3¾ of a year.
Where is it?
That is, see the blue triangle?
Mm-hmm.
That's where it is planned to go.
All right, look, Stafford Council or utility or whatever that's holding this up. I don't know if it's like a store holding it up or a person just like, I'm going to stand here and not let you build it. I don't know, but whatever it is, move it out of the way. Let's get it built.
It looks like they've built other superchargers around it in the meantime.
I guess.
Because there's always a
few. Comment down below if you know why it's held up so long. I would love to know.
But it's embarrassing.
It's totally embarrassing. All right, let's go to new superchargers in the world. We got number 72 in New Jersey, the 12 stall in Manahawkin, New Jersey.
Number 77 in Hong Kong is the 10 stall in Hong Kong.
We have the 12 stall in Tallahassee, Florida.
Number 84 in Italy is the 20 stall version 4 in Verona, Italy.
Number 160 in Florida is the 12 stall in Tallahassee on Thomasville Road, so a different one.
We have the 6 stall in Ningbo, China.
The 3 stall in Hangzhou, China.
The 3 stall in Shaoxing, China.
We have another 3 stall in Shaoxing, China.
The 3 stall in Jinhua, China.
We have a 3 stall in Wuxi, China.
Number 2043 in China is the 3 stall in Chengdu.
We have number 112 in Japan, the 4 stall in Tokyo.
Number 184 in France is the 12 stall version 4 in Saint-Pierre-de-la-Rube, France.
Nice comeback. Number 7 in Slovenia is the 8 stall version 4 in Koper, Slovenia.
Number 163 in South Korea is the 3-stall in Seoul. Number 103 in Taiwan is the 6-stall in Kaohsiung. Number 82 in Pennsylvania is the 6-stall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Number 24 in New Zealand is the 6-stall in Waitomo, New Zealand. Number 49 in the Netherlands is the 12-stall version 4 in Venray, Netherlands.
Oh, just one more and they join the 50 club.
I do.
And number 455 in California, number 2256 in the U.S., number 6,327 in the world is the 12-stall in Lompoc, California. Now, as we wrap up this 399th episode this week and we look to hitting our 400th show in a row next week, I gotta say, I'm kind of amazed when I hear myself saying numbers like show 379 and show 393. Like, how did we do this?
Three reasons. Number one, we love bringing you the news every week.
Number two is you. You are the reason we're about to hit show 400. You watch us, you support us, both financially and spiritually.
Your contributions to Community Mail Time, video contributor stories, supercharger reviews, they bring joy to our hearts every week.
And our patrons, many of whom you are seeing here in the end credits, we literally couldn't do the show without your support. And I just want to point out, went to this EV show on Saturday and a couple came running over to me and they're like, we're support you. We love you. We saw you 3 years ago here and you told us to buy a Model Y. You and Jesse said, buy a Model Y. And I was like, uh-oh, they've had a problem. And then she's like, and we love it. And I was like, my heart was filled with joy. They told us that their lives have been changed, that this like the best decision they ever made. And I was just like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. And there is a third reason, and it is Elon Musk. Love it or hate it.
It goes unsaid. If it weren't for Elon, we'd have practically nothing to talk about.
So thank you, Elon, for making the whole electric car thing happen.
Yeah. Thank you for watching.
We'll see you next week with episode number 400.
Now you know.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.